listening to Mind Over Motherhood.
Welcome to the Mind Over Motherhood podcast, your new favorite show for all things mindset, motherhood, and mental health. I'm your host, Dr. Carly Crew, mom of twin girls, modern-day nomad, and MD psychotherapist specializing in women's mental health. I believe that women have an infinite potential to change the world. From the babies we raise to the dreams in our hearts and the way we show up in our daily lives, we influence everyone and everything we come in contact with. We have the power and the choice to have a divine impact on the world, but we must first be well ourselves. I'm on a mission to revolutionize women's mental health care and how women care for themselves. Each week, I'll bring you expert strategies and practical tips to master your mindset, improve your mental health, and curate your life so it feels good. We can change the world, but we have to go first. Let's dive in. Hey, welcome back to episode 8 of season 2 of Mind Over Motherhood. And in this episode, we are continuing our discussion of boundaries and interpersonal relationships. If you tuned in last week, you heard all about what boundaries are, the different types of boundaries you can have, and some critical mindset shifts that you need to make to feel good about setting boundaries even when it's hard. And if you haven't listened to that episode, I think it's really important that you do. So maybe pause this one, hop back there, have a little listen, and then come back to this episode. But in this episode, we're going to talk about how to identify relationships that need better boundaries. We're going to talk a little bit about why boundaries are important and some specific ways I recommend identifying relationships that need better boundaries, specifically information boundaries and emotional boundaries. And then I wanted to talk a lot about what to expect when you set boundaries and how to be prepared for some of the most common obstacles and what to kind of do about those things. So we have a lot to cover and I'm really excited. I think that this is a really important topic. I shared in the last episode that it might be one of the most important things I teach women and I help support them with in my virtual clinic, in my mental health membership, the Unoya Collective. Boundaries are so important to our mental health. And boundaries are good self-care, okay? So if you have that kind of typical mindset that self-care is just, you know, maybe exercising or, you know, going to the spa, getting a massage, I would like to challenge you to shift your perspective that setting healthy boundaries is actually how you take care of yourself as well. And I always say my mission is to revolutionize how you take care of yourself and how women's mental health care is done. And I think that starts with educating you around what are good practices that you need to take care of yourself well and to take care of your own mental health, and boundaries is one of them. So first of all, we talked about unhealthy relationships being really important to set boundaries in, okay? Because unhealthy relationships are usually where there's no boundaries or the boundaries are not clear. And most often I see in women specifically, these are relationships where my client or my patient is probably taking on a little bit too much responsibility for someone else's stuff. Okay. Sometimes women are putting their own stuff on other people and they're not identifying that they need to own that and kind of be responsible for their own things. But more often than not, I notice it's women who are taking on things that don't belong to them, right? Especially emotions and problems and all these different things. So there are many, many signs that you could need better emotional boundaries or better interpersonal boundaries, but I'm going to list off a few here. You might need better boundaries in a relationship if that other person in the relationship doesn't seem to take no for an answer. And so if somebody is continually asking you for something, whether it be your time or your energy or even your emotional attention, even though you've clearly stated you're unavailable or unwilling or don't have the capacity for that, you need to set some boundaries, okay? If you are constantly sacrificing yourself for others, you need better boundaries. I mentioned this in last week's episode as well, that sometimes women struggle to see their own self-worth as equivalent to others' worth, but you are worthy. And so if you are sacrificing yourself, constantly sacrificing your own needs, you know, not choosing yourself because you believe others are more worthy than you and you don't want to disappoint them, then you need stronger boundaries. if you feel like you are kind of obligated to help people feel better, right? You're responsible for the emotions of others. You're responsible if someone's sad. You need to help them feel better. Wrong. You need better boundaries. The other sign, and this is a really common one, is feeling guilty a lot. So a lot of the women I work with have a lot of guilt all the time. And now guilt is an emotion that tells us when we have done something wrong or when we have behaved in a way that is outside of what we view as acceptable or that aligns with our values. And the reality is that a lot of women feel a lot of guilt that is inappropriate. So inappropriate guilt is when you feel bad, feel like you've done something wrong when you really haven't done anything wrong. It's just that the thing that you think is wrong is because you have bad boundaries. So I'm going to break this down a little bit more. So if you have a belief that you should be unendingly available to your family members, no matter what, you should be there for them and you should be able to help them and fix everything, then you can't do that. You will feel guilty. I feel guilty. I can't do this for you. When really, it's actually that the belief that you're building that on is not true. You should not be just forever available to everyone or to be doing everything for everyone all the time. So if you feel a lot of guilt, it's really important to examine, is the guilt appropriate or is it inappropriate guilt that you're experiencing? And if you do feel a lot of inappropriate guilt, it's important that you look at your boundaries. Another really good sign that boundaries need to be put in place, or that boundaries that you have put in place are not firm enough, is that you feel resentful a lot towards others. And this happens a lot. And sometimes we even then shame ourselves as mothers and women, especially because we feel bad about feeling resentful towards others. So it's like that feeling of I give to somebody all the time, I'm doing all of this stuff, and I get nothing in return. It feels very one-sided, and you begin to feel very resentful towards that person. This is a huge red flag. This is a big red flag emotion that tells you that it's time to examine your boundaries in that relationship. Because what you're feeling resentful about is that you're doing so much and the other person is doing nothing. When realistically, you only have control over one of those things in that situation. You have control over how much you're giving in a relationship. You don't have control over how much the other person is giving in that relationship. And so it's a high time to consider, do you need to put a boundary around how much of your energy, time, attention, etc., that you're putting in? Right? It's realizing that you're actually responsible for how much you're doing. The other person's not. The other person is likely sitting back thinking, wow, this is a pretty sweet deal. I don't have to do anything here. And I get all the benefits of this relationship. And so if you're feeling resentful often in your relationships, it is really important to examine your boundaries. Okay? There's a few other kind of strategies that I like to use when I'm teaching clients about boundaries as well. So when it comes to information boundaries, I use something called the good news and the bad news criteria. Information boundaries are particularly challenging for women because it can be hard to figure out how much we should tell others about our lives. So have you ever kind of been like, I wonder if I should say this to this person. I wonder if I should, you know, divulge this close sensitive information or this big win that I'm really, really proud of, and you wonder about who needs to know what in your life. And so I've created what I think is a good system to help you figure out who gets to know what. And I call them the good news criteria and the bad news criteria. So for example, using the good news criteria, I want you to think about people in your life that when something good happens to you, they are just genuinely so thrilled for you. They are excited. They say kind things like, you deserved that. You worked so hard for that. I am so happy for you. And it even goes further in that they say those things, but you really feel like they genuinely are just so thrilled. Okay? Do you have that person in your mind? Wonderful. We all need somebody like that in our life. Then I want you to think about people in your life that when something amazing happens to you and you go and you tell them, for some reason you leave feeling worse. you all of a sudden find yourself minimizing your good thing. For example, perhaps you got a promotion, or you made a big sale, or something just amazing happened to you. And then you tell someone, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I feel like I need to shrink this. Like, they might say things like, must be nice. Good things always happen to you. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, not a surprise. Like, obviously that happened to you. Everything good happens to you, right? Like, they're behaving or saying things like they're excited for you, but really it's like this backhanded, undermining compliment, right? Kind of comes from this negative energy. And it's really easy to pick up on this, right? So if you have somebody like that in your mind, in your life, then I want you to use this as a sign that that person needs a better information boundary. If there is someone in your life who cannot feel genuine happiness for you when something happens, they're in a scarcity mindset maybe, and they think that if something good happens to you, then that means that there's less for them. This is somebody who doesn't really get to have access to all the good, exciting things that you love and that are really proud of, right? The things that we get so proud of and we really want to rush and tell someone, those are things that are close to our hearts. And if somebody is going to take something that's close to your heart and kind of trample on it or make you feel worse about it, I believe that you are responsible for setting just a healthy boundary around that. The second part of this system is the bad news criteria. And so very similarly, I think about when you have somebody close to you who should be kind of in your inner circle and you have healthy boundaries with, and you can safely share things with those people. So when I say bad news, I'm talking about things that are maybe like you're not so proud of, or mistakes you made, or when something crappy happens and you're really feeling down about it. Maybe you have a weakness that you're really insecure about, and this person knows this, okay? So this person in your life, they know this. It's really important to look at how are they handling that information. If it's somebody who is kind of like protecting that information, protecting you, right? Making you feel that everybody has kind of crap and that they love you anyways. And that maybe if, you know, that thing comes up that you're really insecure about in a conversation, these would be the people that would deflect it away. They would be like, oh, let's change the subject, because they know that this thing is hard for you to deal with and they don't want you to be hurt by that. And so they are kind of, you know, doing a healthy, helpful thing by protecting that. That's somebody who fits into the bad news criteria, right? They are entitled to learning about those things about you because that's a safe place. They are a safe person to share that with. On the flip side, you have people who don't satisfy the bad news criteria. And these are people who take that sensitive, negative stuff that you're insecure about and they exploit it, or they talk about it, they bring attention to it, they maybe make fun of you about it. So I want you to think about somebody, is there anybody in your life who knows you just like get really uncomfortable talking about something specific? Or maybe you're a bit sensitive about how you speak in front of groups, or you had something happen to you that you were really uncomfortable that happened. It was a really hard time for you and you divulged that to this person. And then imagine they're in a group at a party, say, you know, in actual non-COVID days, and they're talking to somebody about that, or they're telling jokes that make that come to mind for you, and they know that. Those are people who don't satisfy the bad news criteria. Those are people that you just need to stop sharing that information with. You can't trust those people with that information. And instead of really wishing that they would change and not do that and that it's unfair and all the things and, you know, and getting all upset and dramatic about why they're doing that, I see that as an opportunity for you to take responsibility and be like, okay, I've just identified that is not information you have access to anymore. And you don't have to tell the person. It doesn't even have to be an explicit boundary. It could literally just be, okay, from now on, I have learned that I won't share that sort of stuff with you, with that person. And that's really important, right? I use these two kind of criteria to figure out who gets access to what in my life. Who gets access to what information? And it all comes down to how do they handle it? How do they deal with it? Is it in your best interest how they handle it? Do they handle it in a healthy way? So those are some signs that you could use stronger boundaries, as well as a system for figuring out who gets to know what about your life. Now, the final thing I wanted to talk about is actually setting boundaries, because that's the scariest part. So setting boundaries is really uncomfortable. I mentioned that in last week's episode as well. It can be really uncomfortable. It can cause you to sweat. It's like brings on a panic attack, all the things. I get it, but I want you to know that just because all of that discomfort happens doesn't mean setting boundaries is wrong. In fact, if you're that activated by the potential or the possibility that you might be setting more boundaries, this is something that you need to face. This is something that tells me you need boundaries especially. So what is setting boundaries in a relationship actually involve? So first it comes to identifying the relationship that needs a better boundary, okay? So using some of the signs I talked about, some of the red flag emotions, guilt, obligation, resentment, one-sidedness, you know, these are all kind of things that you could notice in your relationship, and you might be like, time to set a new boundary here. This is not healthy. I do not like this relationship. Another good sign would actually be just identifying how you feel after you spend time with someone. Do you feel energized and activated and positive and like, yes, this is great? Or would you leave and you're like, God, that was terrible. Why do I even spend time with that person? I feel worse. I feel drained. This relationship needs better boundaries. So first you have to identify the relationship that needs a better boundary. Next, you have to decide, what is the boundary? What boundary will you set? And so that's looking at what specific behaviors or exchanges that you've had in the past that have made you feel those red flag emotions, or looking at the pattern of the relationship. I always feel resentful after this. I always feel drained when we talk about that, etc. And it can be as specific as you want. I tend to think when you're first setting boundaries, the more specific you can be in your own mind with your boundary, the easier it will be to set, because you can just kind of pick one hill to die on and stick with that first. So for example, you might want to set a boundary with your mother-in-law about something she talks about, right? Maybe she brings up comments about your weight or how much you eat or something all the time. And so that would be an example of, okay, I'm going to set a boundary around this. Something that is also very important to keep in mind when you are setting boundaries is that simply setting a boundary doesn't give you control over the other person's behavior, okay? So setting a boundary clearly and expressing the boundary clearly does not mean that the other person is going to do that right away, okay? So we can't have that expectation. And I'm gonna go into that in the next little section here about what to expect when you set boundaries. So you have to ask yourself when you're deciding what the boundary will be is, what can I control in this situation? What's in my control? Because remember, boundaries guide, you know, what we will do or not do, what we will tolerate or not tolerate. It's not what will you do. It's what will we do, or you do specifically. Okay, so what relationship needs a better boundary? What is the boundary? 3, assertively placing the boundary. This is the scariest part, okay? Because we hate conflict, and I get that. There are kind and clear ways that you can set boundaries. I'm a big fan of writing it down. You know, 3 or 4 sentences that you're going to rehearse. I don't care if you have to say it 100 times in the mirror to yourself. Practice it with a friend. Get a coach. Again, whatever. You need to actually do it. You need to assertively place the boundary. And I'm a big fan of using the word boundary when you do it. So, for example, I really enjoy spending time with you at family dinner on Sunday. I don't feel comfortable when you talk about my weight or how much is on my plate. I don't like spending time with you. I don't enjoy myself when you do that. I would really like to be able to enjoy my time with you. And so I am setting a boundary around that topic of my weight. And I am asking you that you will not speak about my weight or how much I'm eating in the future. This is a boundary I'm setting. I hope that you can respect it. So that's just a little example, right, for that previous situation I mentioned. And you can use that word for word, I don't care. But the trick is to use the word boundary. I think that's really powerful, because then people know, 1, that you're serious. 2, most people know what boundaries are. And 3, they realize that if they just don't do what you've asked them to do, that they're actually going against your boundary that you have explicitly set. 4, this is one of the really important ones too, is you actually have to maintain your boundary. You have to uphold your boundaries like your life depends on it. And this might mean that you need to set some consequences. If that person violates the boundary you've asked them to set, there have to be consequences. It's very much like parenting, right? If you said to your child, don't hit your sister, or you're gonna go to your room, don't hit your sister, or you're gonna go to your room, they hit their sister, and you don't put them in their room, they are not going to learn. So you need to make sure that you're setting boundaries that you can maintain. And I'm going to dive into some more about that in just a little bit. So the 4 steps are: identify the relationship that needs a better boundary, decide what that boundary will be, assertively place the boundary, and then maintain the boundary like your life depends on it. Okay? Sounds simple, way easier said than done, and that's what I'm going to jump into next. So here's some common problems you might experience when you start to set boundaries. And I mean, you might experience them, like you probably will, so just be prepared. One, people aren't going to like it. People are not going to like it when you start to set boundaries. The reality is that most people like people in their life exactly the way they are, right? We don't like change. We want people to be predictable. We want to know what to expect from them. And when they change, we don't like it. It's threatening. They don't know what to think anymore. You've changed, they'll say. Okay? We can't expect to set boundaries and just have people agree and comply and enjoy it. Okay? Now, there will be some people who do, who identify, oh my God, absolutely. I did not realize that is absolutely a boundary I am willing to uphold. And, you know, thank you for setting it. I am so proud of you, whatever. I would say that's rare, but that's okay. There are those people. But reality is that most people, whenever you put up a boundary, they're going to kind of struggle. They're going to kind of not sure exactly what this means for them. And they might get a little bit sensitive. They might get a little bit angry or unhappy. But the important thing to realize is that doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. Okay? Remember, there's this quote I love that says the only people who get upset about you setting boundaries are the ones who benefited from you not having them. And that is so important. So if you see someone getting upset or getting, you know, angry about you setting boundaries, instead of seeing this as, oh my God, I am doing the wrong thing, I want you to see, oh my God, I'm doing the exact right thing, clearly. It's very telling, okay? The second thing to realize is that your boundaries might not be followed right away, okay? So it is human nature to kind of challenge boundaries. That's what toddlers exist for. And I think about it kind of like when you get on a roller coaster, you know, one of those loop-de-doop roller coasters, and the thing comes down. I don't know what that chest piece is called, like the bars and the chest piece that holds you in. What does everyone do? They push on it. They test it. They push to see if that thing will hold them where they're supposed to be. Okay? And I love this analogy because that's exactly what everybody does when you set a boundary. They're going to kind of like, really? Is it solid? Are you going to hold me in with this boundary? Is this boundary really here for good? Right? And so, for example, like you could have a child, right, who insists on just like staying up, watching TV past her bedtime, and you've done this for a long time and you've decided, nope, now is the day. We are going to do this. And so we do this beautiful assertive boundary setting. And you might say something like, you need to be in your bed now. This is a new boundary for us. At this time, there's no more coming out. And the first time she doesn't follow it. And here you are again. Okay, but I said, and she's like, well, she's testing the boundary. And this is where it's important to start to set a little bit of a consequence. If you're not in your bed by your bedtime, I'll turn the television off and you'll lose the chance to watch TV the following day. This is an example. Of course, she's not going to believe you, right? So she's going to try that one more time. And that's where she's pushing on those bars of the roller coaster. Is this going to hold me in? Is this solid, right? And so that's where it's really, really important that if you're setting a boundary and you're setting a consequence, is that you are willing to stand by it. You are willing to die on it. I like to say, pick your hill and die on it. So that at least the boundaries are firm and people learn that this boundary is serious and it is firm and you are not going to give in. The next thing to expect when you set boundaries is somebody might think there's something wrong with you. They also might think that you're mad at them. Especially if you've been a very passive person and those around you have been used to you kind of being quiet and just going along and complying and doing what they want. All of a sudden you start setting these boundaries and being beautifully assertive, people are going to be like, are you mad at me? Because it's just atypical for you, right? To behave in this way. It's atypical. And this is why I think it's really helpful, again, circling back, to use that word boundary so that you can say, I am not angry. I've just identified that this and this and this impact my mental health negatively. And I am trying to prioritize my mental health. And so I am setting a boundary around X, Y, and Z. Okay, another great kind of script you can use. I love telling people what my priorities are when I'm setting a boundary. Your relationship with me is very important. How it's going on is not working for me. And so I would like to put this boundary in place so we can have a healthy relationship. Okay, another example. So these are some things. There's lots of things that could happen. So when I say people won't like it, like to the tune of sometimes people won't talk to you for weeks. Okay. And that can be really upsetting and that can be really hard. And I'm going to promise you that it gets easier with support. So you need to have a good team of people or a community where you can say, I'm setting a boundary. It's really hard. And this person is just, you know, not even talking to me anymore. You need a supportive community of sisters who can say, no, you stand by it. This is important. You are worth it. And can kind of lift you up when you're starting to falter and wonder if you've done something wrong. Okay. This is one of the many reasons why I created the Unoya Collective, which is this beautiful mental health membership community where you have all these soul sisters in this space, sacred space, designed to hold you up when you're struggling and to support you through all of these hard things, right? So if you're not in it and you're thinking, oh man, I could really use some support to set boundaries, like maybe check it out. Unoya Collective on my website. Just click membership. It will give you all the details, okay? So some simple guidelines for boundary setting, and then we'll wrap it up. So I've spoken about this a couple times now. In order to set healthy boundaries and to do it correctly, you need to set boundaries you can actually hold. So only set those boundaries that you're willing and able to defend, okay? So if you make threats you can't keep, essentially, you know, I'll leave you, or I'll ground you for a year, you know, kind of like threats as the consequence to your boundary violation, right? So if you set a boundary and you say, if you violate this boundary, this is the consequence. Like the consequence needs to be something you're willing to do. So don't set consequences you can't keep, okay? You also need to have a decent amount of cognitive and emotional resources to set boundaries clearly, assertively, and mindfully. So don't start setting them just haphazardly when you're pissed off or when you're upset. Or when you're strained to the absolute limit and you're pulling your hair out, right? Because one, you won't be effective, but two, you have to be prepared for the fact that it's not going to get easier necessarily after you set that boundary. So you need to have some extra resources available so that if things get tougher for a little while, you can handle it. So I like to say, pick a time to set boundaries when you're feeling well in your mind, right? That you are on top of your mental health care, that you are feeling confident and supported and having the resources you need, should it get a bit rough and bumpy for a while, right? Don't do it when you're in the middle of a mental health crisis. Like, of course, boundaries are super important in those situations, but maybe that's not the time when you, like, you know, you can't get out of bed, you're so depressed because you're so depressed. Maybe that's not the time to start doing it, okay? The third guideline is don't back down. Don't back down. It's really hard to not back down when you're used to backing down and being compliant. But I've said before, you know, pick something you can uphold and uphold it. Because otherwise you're not doing yourself any favors. You're just showing the person you're setting the boundary with that they can still walk all over you and you actually won't do anything about it. And that's not okay. Another guideline, don't over-explain. When you're setting boundaries, it is very common for women who are passive to try to over-explain themselves. And we kind of get this like flustered verbal diarrhea of, I just want to be feeling better and I want you to just, and I get frustrated about it and this is why. And don't do this. Don't over-explain. This is why I'm a big fan of rehearsing. Rehearse what you need to say, say it, and be done with it. We over-explain because we feel, again, like we have to make it easier on other people. We have to make them feel better about it. We need to make sure they know we're not mad. We need to make sure all these things, again, that is poor boundaries. You are not responsible for how someone handles what you say to them. You are responsible for saying what is your truth in a clear, kind, and assertive way, and they are responsible for their response. So stop over-explaining yourself. You actually are not required to give anyone any explanation for anything. Really, you're not. I know that probably sounds crazy, and you're like, what? Of course I have to explain things. You don't. This compulsive need to over-explain and explain and explain our feelings and explain why we are a certain way, we don't need to do it. It's just another passive way that we try to please and smooth over and comply. Yes? Okay. The final tip I have for you is don't start setting boundaries with every single person in your life at once. You won't be able to. It will be very overwhelming. And you need, you know, to just try one person at a time. So I often say, you can do one of two strategies. You could pick the relationship that is the most troublesome in your life and just eat the frog and do the hard thing and the biggest, hardest thing first. Or you can start small and start doing setting boundaries in situations that are less threatening to you, maybe a little bit at work or, you know, with your child's teacher or something. Like, you know, if you need to set boundaries in, like, relationships that are not as close to you, do that first and work your way up, okay? But whatever strategy you choose, it's most important that you do this work, you guys. It's most important that you identify whether you have lousy or non-existent boundaries, and you have to change it. Because I'm going to tell you that if you have shitty boundaries, you will have shitty mental health. And, like, you know, I hope there's no little ones around listening to me say that, but it's my podcast. I'll say what I want. That's my boundary. And it is true, honestly. I think that boundaries is, like I said, one of the most important things you can do for your own self-care. I hope you found this helpful. If you want more information, if you need more support, and you want to dig into boundaries and all the other things, assertiveness, right? Self-care, perfectionism, overwhelm, emotional intelligence, distress tolerance. These are all things that women need to learn about to manage their mental health better. And they're all things I teach in the Unoya Collective. So the Unoya Collective is a monthly mental health membership for women. It's a membership program like you've never seen before. It is all contained within a beautiful mobile app. There's also a desktop option. And it's off of social media, which I think is very important. We live in a world of just way too much distraction. And I really wanted to create a space where you could go into this space and not be distracted by all of the pop-ups and all of the notifications and all of the things that distract us from truly taking care of ourselves. And in this mobile app, in this membership, depending on your level, you'll have access to our beautiful sacred community of sisters who are all working towards better mental health care, right? Working towards taking care of themselves in a better way that is cohesive and comprehensive and fits in their life and actually works. You'll have access to direct messaging and group chats and breakout groups for joining up with women who are also in your season, whether you have young babies, children in school or high school or no children at all. You will also get access to a monthly group hot seat coaching call where I will individually coach two members by application live in the group. And I think that's so important because sometimes we may not see things in our own lives until we hear someone else who also has it. And then you'll hear the strategies that I recommend to that person to manage that challenge. You will also get access to a monthly Q&A call. So I know that you might not be struggling with whatever that month's theme is in the membership, but maybe you're struggling to set a consistent exercise routine or start a meditation practice, or you're dealing with this one particular anxiety trigger that you don't know how to tackle, right? So that will be your opportunity to submit some Q&A and I will answer them live in the group for full interaction. Finally, you'll also get some guest expert trainings. Those are all kind of getting set up in relation to each month's theme. And finally, again, depending on your membership level, if you are in the Collective Power membership level, you will also get access to an absolutely exclusive mini course every single month that talks all about a mental health topic. And these mental health topics, you're probably wondering, is that relevant to me? I'm telling you, every single topic I share in this membership is something that I see time and time and time again with the women that I work with in the Unoya medical clinic that I run, which is my virtual mental health clinic. The commonalities between women and the struggles that they have in their mental health are incredibly similar. And so I really wanted to create some evergreen content that you could go back and reflect on and that I could share my message with more people and the education that women need to fix those things. So it's a sacred space. It's a beautiful place to learn and be supported and feel truly empowered to take care of your mental health. You can learn more at www.curlycrew.com/membership. And if you have any questions, you know how to reach me. You can email me or shoot me a message on social media. I would love to see you inside the membership. And I hope this episode was helpful for you.
You're listening to Mind Over Motherhood.